Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, titled, The Grace of God in Truth. This is part 2 of 2.
Even that, He deserved the glory. You only bore fruit because He decided to save your sorry carcass. And then in saving you, He then gave you opportunity, gave you His Spirit, gave you His Word, gave you opportunity, and even empowered you so that you could bear fruit. Amen. So even up there, I think we're just going to feel sorry for those people who stand before the Lord and get in smelling like they came out of a, you know, 3-alarm fire. Glad you're here. Glad you made it. Sins, yeah. You just see that like in the cartoons, little smoke coming off of them. Here's the question. Is that how you want to stand before Jesus? All these spiritual infants out there would say, well, you know, I may not get much reward, but at least I'll be in heaven. Think of that. Right now, in this group, if we were to pull you up here and strip your clothes off in front of everybody, you'd be totally embarrassed. It'd be horrifying. A lot of you would never come back and somebody would never speak to us again. Amen. It's going to be worse than standing naked on that day. If you stand up there in front of the Lord and Savior who died to save your carcass from hell and you ain't got a thing to show for it,
yeah,
it'd be worse than being naked in front of a handful of people. And yet people are so carnal-minded and so infantile, they would be more horrified right now by standing here. You have those dreams, you know, you're walking around in your underwear and you don't know why you come to church, you go to school, you go to a job interview and you're in your underwear. You're like, I have no idea why I just showed up here in my underwear. And it's so embarrassing. I've even woke up feeling horrified. Like, what is that? And you, if you have any sense, you realize that's nothing compared to how horrified you're going to feel if you stand before the Lord without any fruit to show for your life. It's just hard. You can't get some people to think. You can't get people to open their eyes to that and wake up. Paul says that this fruit that he's heard of from the Colossians, he said, since the day ye heard of it, referring to the gospel, and knew the grace of God in truth. And that really, as I said earlier, that's what it comes down to. If you know what grace means in your life, it'll change you.
Amen.
Being saved is one thing, but growing up spiritually and coming to some revelation of the grace of God will change you as a Christian.
Amen.
That's part of what it means to grow up as a Christian. The genuine repentant believer experiences the reality of grace when born again. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked at people and I start to think, you know, oh, how stupid. What is wrong with these people? And then I think of 1989, 1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, my early years as a Christian. And then I think of times since then where I've just been stupid. Thought things, responded in ways that I shouldn't have as a mature Christian. And then I think, well, I guess those in glass houses should not throw stones. Amen? You know, you should always remember what grace has meant to you. Never forget what grace has meant in your life. Don't linger on your mistakes and allow Satan to hold those over your head. But don't forget that you made mistakes. And God didn't look at you, Johnny, when you did something wrong, go, poof, just kill you. Because that's all it takes. God just reached down and go, poof. That's how big God is. And He could do it. But He didn't. Over and over and over, he looked at Greg Miller and had to be up there just shaking his head. But thank God he didn't just blow me to the moon. And by the way, grace is not earned. We're not talking about you bearing fruit to earn God's grace. Grace is unmerited forgiveness based upon the payment for sins made by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You allow that to sink in. You didn't do anything to help save your soul. You didn't do anything to earn God's grace. And it just leaves you dumbfounded. Just leaves you in awe. Ephesians 1:7, read that with me. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. When you think of the blood of Jesus, you think of Jesus dying on the cross and shedding His blood. That's where grace begins.
Amen.
He shed His blood to pay for your sins, and you can't add a thing to that. It's His blood. Grace means you're saved in spite of yourself, not because you're such a wonderful person.
Amen.
Even after you get saved, you're still not all that.
Yeah,
grace means you're forgiven of all your sin.
Amen.
I mean, when Jesus died, you hadn't even committed your first sin yet. But the Bible says when He died for the sins of the whole world. That includes you people living in the 21st century.
Amen.
And He's paid for them all.
Amen.
Grace means you're free from sin penalty. Legally. There's nothing on your slate anymore. Emotionally. You don't have to or need to feel any guilt.
Amen.
Any shame.
Amen.
I don't care how bad a sinner you are. Have been what you were. We've got prostitutes and homosexuals and all kinds of got murderers like Son of Sam, his name David Berkowitz, I believe is his name. Saved.
Amen.
And it's all forgiven. And he can live without any shame now.
Amen.
He can live without the emotional baggage. And in a practical sense, ain't anybody ever going to come in here if they are a Christian, they give a solid profession of faith, ain't no better or any worse than anybody else in this room.
Amen. Amen.
Don't care where they come from. Don't care what color they are. Don't care what their bank account looks like. Don't care how they're dressed. Don't care how they talk. They can even say, ain't.
Amen.
They can talk like me. Saved is saved. Amen?
Amen?
Grace means you're free to live without guilt and shame burdening you. The psychologists and psychotherapists have said for years that most of their business comes from people who can't let go. Many of them are not saved.
Yeah.
So they can't let go because they've not been washed. But what's really sad are the number of professing Christians who can't let go. And they go in and have to have counseling and dope and everything because they just refuse to believe the Word of God and release themselves from the shame and the guilt. So, yes, some of them, they committed some really bad things. They did some really bad stuff. And if you get saved and you do really bad things and bad stuff, you do the crime, you do the time, but you can be forgiven.
Amen.
And you are free. If you don't live free of the guilt and shame, it's your fault, not God's.
Amen.
God's done everything to set you free, and if you won't live it, it's you who chooses not to live by God's Word.
Yeah.
Let's look one last place. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. I'll give you a chance to get there. Read that with me, beginning verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is talking to a bunch of people who he's telling at this point, "I'm about to be killed, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to rise again the third day, conquering sin and death. And if you will look to me, then I will take that burden you're carrying around under the law, a law you can't keep, a law that is a tutor to show you how much you need salvation. And if you will come unto me, I will take that from off your shoulders, and then you will be lightened." And I got to tell you, I had probably heard this as a kid my whole life. But when I got saved, I literally felt like I was floating. When I got saved, that burden of sin and what I knew was true about me, and I felt like I was floating. I just had that burden lifted off of me. I wonder about Christians sometimes. Did you experience that? I mean, I think it, not that you had to feel the same thing I did, but when you get saved, you should have a sense of the fact that I'm now free. That's what I think the Pilgrim Progress, you know, where he's carrying that big load around, he gets to drop that. That's a great picture of you when you got saved. "My yoke is easy." You know what a yoke is? Some of you don't even know what that maybe. A yoke is when you see where they put it on the beast and they tie it around and then they use him back in the old days to plow. And the yoke was, it had a hoe, a blade in the ground, and that beast had to pull that, and it would pull the dirt up, and it was a heavy burden. Especially in places like where I live, where it's half rocks. And then you clip that off of that beast, and he's like, "Whoo!" And he just moves around, and you can see, I've seen that, where a horse had been let off of where he's pulling the cart or pulling the buggy. And when you let him off, he kind of dances around a little bit. Like, "Ooh, I can move." Yeah. That's how you should feel spiritually. Grace is also not a license to sin, though. It's a pardon and opportunity to sin less with God's help. You can never be sinless. But you can sin less. Amen. Romans 6, 14, 15, Paul said, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And folks, you better watch it. There are people out there who call themselves grace preachers, and they really do preach antinomianism, and they preach that you can sin all you want, no big deal. They preach a gospel without repentance. They don't even call on people to repent and to be saved. Just believe the gospel. Don't deal with your sin and be willing to turn, as the Bible says, to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe this little thing and say this little prayer with me. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And they filled the churches with unbelievers. And you wonder why so many churches are going into the pit today? Because they're filled with unbelievers. And then once they become a majority, they vote in pastors to their liking that don't use the old book, that don't preach the old gospel, that don't talk about sin and call on people to repent. Just say this little prayer and be a part of us. We're inclusive. We want everyone to feel welcome. Not us. You come through that door and you love your sin and you walk out of here comfortable, I failed. But that's the message. Come in here and just be comfortable. Here's your latte. And we'll have a program. We'll have our meetings with people with your hang-up this week. Whatever your hang-up is, we're going to have that meeting. And in that meeting, we will never mention repentance.
And we have a list of psychotherapists and their and the drugs you might want to consider taking. I'm not joking. I know it's funny. There are churches with a list of psychotherapists they give their people.
Serious. Bingo. Right there. A number one. Tell them what you said. I'm not pointing at you. That's right. I got their pastor on CD saying it. Yeah. It says the grace of God in truth, see? Grace cannot be divorced from truth.
Amen.
The grace of God in truth. Sadly, there are unrepentant professors who claim grace but have embraced a lie. And I just mentioned a couple and we'll move on, but you got this gay Christian network. I think it's now calling itself the Q something for the LGBTQ whatever. And you got Rob Bell preaching in his Love Wins book, and he's now off the deep end. He was well known as the Mars Hill pastor for years. Even Living Way, Southern Baptist Bookstore, stole his garbage. And they finally, when he came out of the closet and clearly stated what he believed, they finally stopped selling his garbage. But you got the whole emergent church thing going on. You got Carlton Pearson, who used to be the pastor where Carmen the singer went. Carmen, to his credit, doesn't affiliate with him anymore. But he's selling a book and preaching the gospel of inclusion. That's what Oprah's all about. All that stuff. And you have all these, and then you have just the people who pretend to be Christian preachers who preach a gospel, as I said, antinomian. They were talked about, they were predicted in Jude. Verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness." Look at that long and hard right there. Turning the grace of God, our God, into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because if you preach a grace that doesn't deal with sin, then you're preaching a false grace.
Amen.
Jesus, it says, Christ died for our what? Sins. You don't mention sin, you don't deal with sin, you don't call on sinners to repent, you're not preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And grace makes us want to show our what?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Luke 16:13, Jesus said this, "No servant can serve two masters." Watch this. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." There's no two ways about it. Jesus saved us. We ought to want to live for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go and sing page 209 in the hymn book. 209, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Only so much can be said about God's grace in a Bible study of less than 1 hour. And yes, I haven't been here an hour yet.
Wow.
But this much ought to be true, that it bringeth forth fruit.
Amen.
As it does also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth.
Amen.
That much is true, and this much is true, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
Think about how amazing it is that we preach a gospel that doesn't say you have to stop sinning in order to be saved. And we preach a gospel that says if you will be saved, God can help you to stop sinning.
Amen.
But to stop sinning has nothing to do with you being saved.
Amen.
Let that roll around in your head for a little bit. We preach a gospel that we don't look at sinners and say you have to stop sinning in order to be saved. Otherwise, none of us would ever be saved.
Yeah. Okay.
But you do have to have a repentant heart turning from everything you are what you do, what you believe, everything. You leave it all behind and turn toward God with toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He'll start to work in you. You don't clean up and then get saved. You come as you are with a repentant heart. God will save you, and then He begins to clean you up as much as you'll let Him.
Amen.
He still works with you. You have to be a willing subject. The question today, have you been a willing subject? And will you really respond with gratitude to this wonderful grace that is greater than our sin? Let's sing number 209. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word.
Amen.
We know that if those who hear it will receive it as Your Word, it will effectually work in them.
Yeah.
We just pray the Holy Spirit would do His work. Lord, that we would continue to read Your Word, study Your Word daily, week after week, until You come and take us to be with You, when we will be in the presence of the Word of God.
Amen.
And we ask, Lord, You bless the week coming with plenty of opportunity to serve You for Your praise and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.